Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, January 20th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people and using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. I say accessible because these tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website, click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. The book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years, pushing 18 years now, to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself, simple PDF file, click it, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have called in and been stepped through the worksheet process and or given powerful testimonials about how the use of that process is improving their life quality. You can also download an app, completely free and private app from either App Store, Google Play, or Apple App Store that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. I hope people do that soon and often, because when they do, it often leads to comments, questions, or testimonials. And you can call us if you have any of those at 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1, and it will let me know you've got an interest in talking. So how can we support you today? What's on your mind? Last year we did the Course in Miracles workbook lessons and the Course in Miracles experiment commentary from Pam Grout. This year we've been working last week and this week to work through a little bit of the Way of Mastery as a set of tools, part of the Christ Mind Teachings, called Christ Mind Teachings because the goal is to help each and every one of us awaken that part of us that can connect with a higher mind. The goal is to awaken increasingly to undo the cultural and family conditioning that would have me believe that life and my experience of life is happening to me from the outside, and awaken the part of me that can increasingly take more and more responsibility for everything I experience, emotionally, perceptually, physically, etc. And what we left off yesterday was in yet again, a third time, reading through the first lesson of the way of the heart. And the idea is that awakening is only a remembrance. But it is a remembrance not just of the intellect. It is not an idea as you would understand ideas. It is an idea, in quotes, that vibrates through the whole field of your beingness. So that even the cells of the body, while yet the body remains coalesced together in its present form, even the cells of your body awaken and relax into the capital T truth that is true always. If you were a gardener, would you not cultivate the art of weeding your garden? Would you not look to see that the soil is just the correct dampness? Would you not keep your eye on the clouds on the horizon in the heat of the day? Would you not cover the delicate plants that need protection while they grow? And if those that would come to your garden would not respect the garden, would you not ask them to leave or build a temporary fence until the garden is strong enough, until it bursts forth with enough fruit so that you can even give it to those who do not respect it? Be you, therefore, a wise gardener. Cultivate a deep love and respect for yourself. For in truth, you are not here to fix the world. You're not here to fix your brother or sister. It is only love that heals. It is only the flow of a creative energy that extends itself, that grows, that heals, that creates. Until you have loved yourself wholly and completely by purifying the mind of every erroneous negative thought you've ever held, until you have loved yourself and seen and experienced yourself as the energy of love and creation, until that happens, you do not in truth love anyone or anything. Perhaps there have been brief moments when you let your guard down and the love of God, the creative energy force, shines forth through you so quickly that you don't even know what happened. The wise gardener works, cultivates, clears away the negativity, and cultivates a state of consciousness in which the love of God, the love of creation, the creative energy force flows through them unimpeded. Beloved friends, those of you that have elected to answer a call to participate in this pathway with this family, if you would make your commitment to trusting your Creator for having set before you a pathway that can lead you home, if you can do that, you will indeed arrive at home. However, commitment means that you do not get to leave the room when the shouting begins. The shouting we're speaking of is the shouting within your own mind, within your own body, within your own emotions. That line here reminds me of a woman I was just having a session with, and she has such intense negative messages in her mind from her family of origin, from her traumatic events growing up, negative messages about her lack of attractiveness, her lack of value as a person. So if we were to say anything about how when she was 5 years old, she was innocent, she was, you know, lovable and worthwhile, the voices in her head start screaming. That can't be true. If that were true, my father and my stepfather wouldn't have left, and this person wouldn't have abused me. And if that were true, you know, if I was still attractive, then I wouldn't weigh as much as I weigh now, or I wouldn't have this. blemish or whatever it is. Those are the voices. That's the screaming that we're talking about here. Commitment means you do not get to leave the room when the shouting begins. The shouting is going to be every attachment that you have to a negative thought about yourself. That's the shouting we're talking about here. It's the shouting within your own mind, within your own body, within your own emotions. Reminds me of one of my favorite lines from Guy Finley when he says, we must actively steal from ourselves every excuse to be negative, bitter, hurtful, resentful. Actively steal from ourselves every excuse to be negative. Why? Because if we don't, we will be able to justify any level of abuse. And this means towards ourselves or anyone around us. This pathway and the commitment we're being asked to make to this pathway will lead us home if we make that commitment. And the commitment means we don't get to turn away from our own negativity. We don't get to just brush aside thoughts that we're not handsome, we're not lovable, we're not funny enough, we're not smart enough, we're not sexy enough, we're not valuable enough. That something we did in the past means that we aren't worthy, that we don't have value anymore because we made this error or we did this horrible thing to somebody. We must face those negative thoughts in this pathway. And as Guy Finley would say, actively work to dismantle every excuse for being negative, whether it's negative towards ourselves or somebody else. That's what it's referring to here when it says, the commitment in this pathway means you do not get to leave the room when the shouting begins. The book goes on to say, this means that you will stay with these things by being honest about them and loving yourself for ever even having the power to create such negative, insane perceptions of yourself and the world around you. I'm not going to take it so seriously. I'm not going to say, oh, what an idiot I was for doing that. I'm going to say, oh, isn't it interesting? With that childlike curiosity, wow, look at the strength of this negative set of conclusions that I've downloaded. And wow, look at the power of my mind to create my emotional state. Even when it's a negative emotional state, rather than judging myself negatively and horribly for having created a negative emotional state or a negative interaction pattern with me and somebody else, the commitment in this work means I will have the ability to stay with myself lovingly, to step back and marvel at the power of the creative force of the thoughts, the mind energy that moves through me, and how amazing it was that I had the power to even create these negative perceptions of myself and the world around me. The book goes on to say, the way of the heart is the final pathway that any soul can enter. There are many stages of awakening. There are many pathways that can be followed. And ultimately, all roads lead to Rome, as they say. Eventually, each soul must find its way into the way of the heart. What does that mean? It means each soul must come back to the truth that it is time for that soul to take responsibility, 100% responsibility for everything that it's experiencing and creating in its own experience. To learn to cultivate the ability to look upon the deep and vicious blackness of what I have called ego, and to understand that this is nothing more than the cesspool of denial. Denial of what? Denial of how I have created that negativity experience. It is simply that which lacks the light of my awareness. It is not something that can defeat me. It is simply something that I have turned away from. I have turned the light of my own awareness away from that which we call the ego, which we call the darkness, which is called in this work that cesspool. So please, begin to bring light back to anything you've turned away from, anything you've labeled as negative. Bring light back to it by simply observing your own mind, observing your own behavior, and your own reactions with a sense of wonder, a sense of innocence, and a sense of childlikeness. Wow, look at there, I go being defensive. Wow, I sure can snap at people when I think I'm right and they're wrong. That's fascinating. I thought I always hated it whenever anybody did that, and I didn't think I was going to be doing that to somebody else, but look, that's what's happening. That's fascinating. Look at how I'm deceiving myself. Ah, there's that energy of bitterness and resentment. I've done that before. I'm pretty good at that. I wonder if I like it enough to keep doing it or if I've reached a point where I want to choose something new. The book goes on to say, "For is it not written that you must again become a little child in order to enter the kingdom?" The little child simply marvels at all they see and says, "Huh. How about that?" Can you imagine looking upon the deepest, the darkest parts of your own mind, your own shadow, your own denials, and in that same moment being able to say, "Oh, how about that?" Please remember, everything is neutral, and all that arises within your consciousness has no effect upon the truth of your reality, your value as a person, your existence as the extension of the creative energy in form. Some would call it the extension of love in form. The way of the heart is a way of cultivating the decision to become identified with the light, capital L light of awareness, of love, of creation, of allowance and acceptance and surrender. That light that can shine away all darkness. Not by fighting with the darkness, but by recognizing it, embracing it as your own creation, and choosing again. The way of the heart is the way that I teach. And now we begin a focused, in-depth study together. We do that so that this way might become established within your holy mind. Remember the truth that is true always. Is it not time, beloved friends, to truly step into ownership of your only reality? The way of the heart does not know the word avoidance. It does not know deception, manipulation, or control. It does not know blame, although it watches these things arise as echoes of old patterns that are now outgrown. The way of the heart learns to see them, to recognize them, like you might recognize certain kinds of clouds that pass through the sky. And the way of the heart then learns to turn the attention of the mind to a new choice that might be made. The way of the heart is the way that calls you home. And the call comes from that deep part of your soul that is still like unto the Holy Spirit, which abides as Christ in the holy mind of the Creator. Trust then that you are as a sunbeam to the sun. Trust not the perceptions you have cultivated in error. You are not alone on the way that you journey, and you journey with your brothers and sisters. this family cannot know separation. For once the call to awaken through this lineage has been acknowledged, though some bodies may not communicate in time and space, rest assured, when the call to awaken has been acknowledged, communication remains, and there is no way to avoid it. We begin now the way of the heart. It is time to step into the willingness to don the mantle of one who is committed to healing every possible obstacle of the presence of love, every obstacle that may yet remain secretly hidden in the depth of that part of your mind that would struggle still to perceive itself as separate from God, and to remember with that struggling that you are truly the light that can come to shine lovingly upon every aspect of darkness you have known. Earlier in this lesson it said to look lovingly upon every place in your mind where fear has made a home, where a thought of fear has become a belief about something to be afraid of. Along the pathway of this course, you are going to learn how to shake hands with the devil and to do a little jig with him and recognize that his face is your own. When you can dance with the darkness that you have created, that darkness is transformed into an angel, and light abides with light. We will be giving you certain meditations and certain energetic practices to help cultivate within you a quality of feeling that will allow you to recognize energies that do not serve you. These will be given in a way that transcends what your mind may choose to think of, so that you learn more and more to lead with the body, to lead with your feeling nature, not your intellect. The reason for this is because your intellect does not know anything except the trivialities that you have shoved into it, like garbage shoved into a garbage can. The intellect can never bring the healing of the heart that is the atonement. The intellect can only be utilized to argue against the insane perceptions that you are used to, so that you might come to see that perhaps there's a greater good in giving up your insistence on treating the intellect as your God. Guy Finley says it this way. He says, the vast majority of your mental and emotional pain and discomfort is a direct result of the misapplication of your mind energy, the misapplication of your intellect. It's the same thing as David Bohm's sustained incoherence that's mentioned in Dr. Michael Race's seven-step worksheet process. So the intellect can never bring the healing of the heart that is the atonement. The intellect can only be utilized to argue against the insane perceptions, the negative perceptions about yourself and the world around you. And as you argue about them, that you might come to see perhaps there's a greater good in giving up your belief that your intellect is your master and Lord and God. Again, in this work, it talks directly about how your intellect, your ego thought, your conscious logical mind was intended to be a servant, not your master. A very simple servant. Guy Finley calls it that mechanical level of mind that just keeps acting and reacting in response to outside stimuli and the beliefs we have held within the mind. The book goes on to say, therefore, indeed, beloved friends, dance, rejoice, and play often. Let these lessons bring up within you everything unworthy of the mind of Christ, every thought of scarcity, every sense of unworthiness, and every fear. Let them come up, look at them, embrace them, and transmute them through your own love of self and through your honesty. Accept where you are and do not pretend to be otherwise. It is completely counterproductive to try to pretend that I am of a more spiritual nature than I actually am. For the wisest are always the most humble. Be you therefore, beloved friends, at peace in all things, for we in what you would call a disembodied state, who are electing to participate with those of you who are asking to be helped through this pathway, we delight in joining with you. We delight in sharing the love of creation with you. We delight in waiting on you to welcome yourself home. I would ask that you close your eyes for just a moment. Take a deep breath into the body and slowly let it go. As the breath leaves the body, hold the thought that there is nothing worth holding on to any longer if it keeps your peace and happiness at arm's length. Become committed, fully committed, to the experience of happiness, even as you have once been fully committed to unhappiness, limitation, and lack. Give your Creator full permission to sweep the basement clean. There is not really anything down there worth defending or protecting. It will come to pass that you will know the perfect peace of empty-headedness, not knowingness. You will know what it means to be relieved of time and to be comforted by what is eternal. Never once let yourself think that you are alone. It is nonsense for you to think that I am not with you. You have asked, I have responded. We are in communication. That is simply the way it is, and that is the way it will be until the end of all illusion. Peace be unto you always. Amen. So that's lesson one, in the way of the heart. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and we've got about 30 minutes left to entertain comments, questions, answers, suggestions. 563-999-3581. What's on your mind? Give us a call. Press 1. Let us know how we can support you. Make it easier for us to be of service in this moment. I should mention that today is a Thursday, and so today's another opportunity to join us for a Mind Shifter support group online through Zoom, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. I should also mention that there are now 85 or 86 interviews available through the journeysdream.org/podcast website. And there'll be another one published this next Tuesday, the 25th. Where I had the privilege of interviewing retired Brigadier General Stephen L. Salazar and retired Colonel Dr. Mary Lopez about their work they're doing, the work that they are doing to help our active duty and veterans live better lives, have more resources for dealing with physical, mental, and emotional stresses of life. And recently I've had people ask about various things. I had a call. Somebody wants to know about how to taper off of psychiatric medications. And my response was that I don't know as much about it as people like Dr. Peter Breggin, but Dr. Peter Breggin wrote a book, Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, and I had the privilege of interviewing him within the past 2 years, and that's another interview that's available at journeysdream.org/podcast. And there's a gentleman named Lyle Murphy, who's the director of the Alternative to Meds Center in Sedona, Arizona, and that's one of his specialties, is helping people withdraw safely, slowly, from psychiatric medications and find other ways to heal, to promote health and wellness physically, mentally, and emotionally, which is what they do at the Alternative to Med Center. And so there's another interview available on journeystream.org/podcast, Lyle Murphy in the Alternative to Med Center. There's also a powerful interview with Robert Whitaker, who wrote the book Anatomy of an Epidemic. And it's a powerful book about how the psychiatric medications that we have available to us are intended, for the most part, to be short-term. And the longer people are on them, the more complications arise and the more decrease in cognitive functioning. That's the word I was looking for. So, 563-999-3581. Give us a call. Ask a question. Make a comment. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Dr. Tim. Are you in a different place today?
I'm having the technical difficulty of my usual phone headpiece not working, so I'm working through the speakerphone on my office phone.
Okay. I can hear you all right. There's a little bit of static in the background and kind of a hissing sound, and you're audible, and if you've been messing with it, you've got something that's functioning, so don't do anything else. But I called back in to see if it was my phone. Anyway, I love hearing these words, and I feel as if they are sinking in on a alchemical level. They're just adjusting parts of me that can't be adjusted any other way or something. It's almost like being carried somewhere. Anyway, I love what you're doing. And where are you going from here? Are you going to go back again? Are you going to go ahead? It doesn't matter, really. Whatever you do, it's really good.
Well, I don't know. It's about what people want and need, and if people like you don't specifically request, then it will be what moves me when I go to read it again.
Okay. All right. Good.
Currently, I only have the first two lessons uploaded to the MindShiftersAcademy.org website. So if people want to listen to the reading of it, I'm only able at this point to make available the first and second lesson, but I will expand that as time allows.
Right, I understand. And we certainly have time, considering that we had a month, or JM had a month to digest and whatever he was getting before the next installment came in anyway. It seems like a wonderful permission to just do it that way, because that's the way it originally started. I'm sort of gasping because I am dealing with a tough situation with Jacob, my daughter's middle boy, and I'm not sure it's a matter of doing a worksheet or just finding some strategies that I don't have available to me. Tim and I, we have five grandsons, and at this point we're not giving an allowance to any of the boys except Jacob. And there's good reason. He's been through this crisis. He's living at home. He's taking time off from school. He has a part-time job, two part-time jobs, but he has free room and board living with his mother. And I was discussing the fact with him that he's 21 now, and how would it feel if we no longer called this an allowance, but instead he's singing in his cathedral choir, and he would have been paid as a professional, except that he's the son of the dean of the cathedral, and there's some sort of policy that he shouldn't be making money. So I said, how about we pay you for a rehearsal at the going rate for choristers, as far as I know, is $50 per rehearsal, and then $50 for the service the following Sunday, which amounts to $100 a week. And before that, we were giving them $150 a week, which seems like a lot. But, of course, when I was his age, $150 was like a fortune. And he says he uses it up at the end of the week. He really needs that much money. And basically, a hardness came into his voice, which reminded me of his father, who would get extremely angry if he couldn't have things the way he wanted them. And so I was doing my breathing, and I was thinking, the boy is just scared. He's feeling threatened, but he has borrowed. He went into his power person. He became like his father, and that's just what Michael Rice always says. So I'm aware of this, and yet I'm feeling this incredible pressure, as I did with his father, to be as kind and nice and malleable and accommodating as possible, which meant in this case to back off and say, oh, okay, well, let's just reassess in 6 months or something. So I got off the phone. I talked to my daughter. She said, Mom, you know, he doesn't need that money. He pays for gas, but he doesn't go very far for his programs. And he's getting free room and board. So she and I made a deal that we would pay, Tim and I would pay him for the choir, and that would be it. But she added, if there's some extraordinary chores that he does around the house, like incredible yard work or something, we could pay him for that. You could add money. So I told that to Jacob, and he was, so this is our second discussion. He's saying, I feel as if I'm being punished. And I said, no. Basically, what I'm asking you is, besides doing tapping and breathing and worksheets, I just have no clue on how to be loving and firm with this boy and not lose sight of even the deal I made with my daughter. I called her today and I said, well, I wrote to Jake and we sent him his allowance. How much? She said, $150. Why, Mom? Because he does do a lot of chores around the house, and you've been telling me so. He's been cooking meals and doing grocery shops. And she said, Mom, you forgot the deal. And she is in Al-Anon, and I'm in Michael Rice and Tim Hayes, which I consider like Al-Anon, and maybe it isn't the right kind of thing, but it's helpful. With all the stuff I'm spewing out to you, do you have any thoughts so far? I'll stop talking and let you say something.
Well, the primary thing is that when you've made a decision at an intellectual level and you have a strong emotion come up that prompts you to change that intellectual decision, it's a real good thing to use whatever tools, whether it's the Byron Katie's questioning your negative thoughts, or the Ho'oponopono, or the EFT tapping, or the Michael Rice worksheet, to dismantle the energy of the negative emotion, because in the core of this work, that's going to distort your perception. And so whatever you see is not going to be accurate when there is a negative emotional state active in your mind. So you know, you're holding some negative beliefs about how if you don't give this grandson what he wants, bad things are going to happen. Well, that's just not the case. And or perhaps you're holding some of your own negative beliefs and negative emotions based on past experiences you had with, as you mentioned, with his father, who would get explosively angry, etc. And so when you're faced with somebody who's explosively angry, what comes up in you? Whatever that emotion is, whether it's resentment, anger, defensiveness, fear, that would be the target for the worksheet. And the idea would be to address the negative emotion before deciding how to actually proceed. Because whenever my decisions are driven by my negative emotional state, it's not going to go well. It doesn't matter how well-intentioned I am, how much I want to be loving for the person, etc. And in a situation like this, you know, one of the things that comes to me to say is, it's as natural as breathing for somebody his age who's facing a change to say, oh, you're punishing me.
Mm.
But it's not a punishment. It's a natural consequence of getting older, having responsibilities, making adjustments in life, strengthening and moving on. And he doesn't know those things yet, but he'll learn them over time. He'll learn them faster when he has adults in his life that hold the limits, that hold the boundaries, and don't give in to the emotional manipulation or intimidation, threats, etc., of the anger.
Yeah.
So that's my offering for you, is that you're not helping anybody. It's like, just flash in my head, you know, a lot of these spiritual teachers say things like, oh, love everybody, and then other practical people like Guy Finley say, hey, look, you're not doing anybody any favors. When you go to a restaurant and you're paying good money and they bring out food that is substandard and you say, oh, I don't want to bother anybody, you're not doing anybody any favors, yourself or the restaurant.
Yeah.
If it's substandard mm-hmm. food, be respectful, be gentle, but return it. If it
mm-hmm.
isn't up to your standards and you're paying this money, you don't have to be caustic, you don't have to be accusatory, but you're not helping anybody if you pretend that what's bad is good or good enough.
Yeah.
And in this situation, you know, when that kind of thing arises with your grandson, when he gets triggered, it might be that you need to back off and give him space and say, all right, I can tell that you're getting upset. Let's talk about this later when you've had some time to cool down. And we won't make any decisions right now. But I'm not going to stay with it, let somebody be pleading with me, and then make a decision either at the height of their emotional upset or mine.
Yeah.
So that's what I would offer as feedback for you.
That's very good, Dr. Jim. You know, you mentioned explosive anger and do the worksheet on explosive anger. Well, this is such old, old stuff. But that's exactly it, except that I'm no longer aware of any trigger or reaction when I remember my mother's rage. But that was the first exposure I had to rage. And so I'm just intellectually thinking that that's where this comes from and why I become kind of paralyzed when somebody gets
into... if you give into it, it probably is still driving your behavior.
Okay.
When you've done enough of your work, when you've dismantled enough of the baggage or garbage or history that you downloaded in the face of your mother, of your interactions with your mother's explosive rage. When you've done enough of that, you will be able to sit with somebody who's having explosive anger, smile lovingly, and hold your position without giving in and just extend that loving energy to them with complete peace and equanimity within yourself.
That's
just
good.
Know that much. Just know that much.
Yeah.
That if you are called for whatever reason to change your position in the face of explosive anger or rage, it means that's old stuff.
Okay.
And the more you can do to address it within yourself, the better situations will go.
Excellent. Yep. Okay.
And there's that, you know, three early memories of conflict worksheet that you could use, which is a wonderful tool to get at that stuff, even if you're not in the middle of an interaction with your grandson. So you could pull that worksheet out again, because there have been some, you know, interactions recently with people who had anger, and you could do the three early memories of conflict and see which memories of conflict come up and work through that worksheet again. And that might give you some, you know, targets to do EFT tapping or other seven-step reality management worksheets on, et cetera. And that might help accelerate your process.
So the I don't know how to ask this even. There is much more emotional intensity or grab, if I think back to my grandson's father and how I felt around him. And I feel as if I could easily do worksheets on that. But, and I've done a lot of three early childhood memories, or whatever it is. And there's just no juice there. But you're saying that's where it is. So
I'm just saying that's just another tool you can use. I don't know that that's where you're going to find it. You might have more, as you say, juice. You might have more productive results if you focus on the memories you have of dealing with your son-in-law and his anger and the negative response that comes up in you. And so, you know, give it a try whatever's most up for you. I'm just recommending that tool in general for people as another way to get access to what might be hidden.
Yeah. Okay, Dr. Tim, thanks. Yeah.
You are most welcome and deserving. And again, you know, this is one aspect, that idea of doing that kind of worksheet process and dismantling the negative within me. The other prong of the two-prong approach that we recommend is focusing on the positive, focusing on your loving nature, focusing on their loving nature. And that's where that gentle art of blessing from Pierre Pradervand comes in. And, you know, you can either get that book or you can listen to my interview with him. But many of us fall out of the practice of generating the most loving thoughts, the most heartfelt loving energy we can, and heartfelt loving images we can about another person, and sit with extending that energy to them. And if I fall out of practice in that, that's a good thing to get back into practice of. So you can have that loving energy for your son-in-law. You can have that loving energy for your grandson. You can have that loving energy for yourself and send yourself a blessing. You know, I remember that when I interviewed Pierre Pradervand, he said, "I'd like to share three blessings." Well, this is a guy who's got hundreds and hundreds of blessings. He wrote a book. His second book on the topic was 365 Blessings to Heal Myself and the World. And there were only three. And he said, here's three I want to share. So what are the three topics that he chooses to share? People who are feeling suicidal, people who've been the victims of or subjected to being a child soldier, and what's the third one? A blessing for myself. Because in truth, if I'm not holding loving thoughts and energies for myself, anything I try to extend to somebody else is tainted, is less than.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, blessing for yourself. Here you are, you're trying to do what's best for your daughter, for your grandson, and you get some input, you decide to make it a change, and your grandson blows up in negativity, and you are worried, and then you back down from the thing with your daughter, and then you're worried. So maybe it's a good thing to just do the blessing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Bless yourself in your wholeness, in your holiness, in your loving nature, in your desire to do what's right. You know, that that book has wonderful blessings in it. Here's his blessing for yourself. Go ahead.
Okay. No, you go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
Above all, bless the utterly beautiful child of God that you are. So today we're going to bless ourselves, for it's very difficult to really love and bless others from the heart if we do not start with feeling the love within ourselves. As the great Irish poet John O'Donohue said, and he said it so beautifully, quote, "May there be kindness in your gaze when you look within," close quotes. So Pierre's blessing is, "I bless myself sincerely and joyfully for being the utterly beautiful divine creature that I am, at one with the source of infinite love. I bless myself as a child of the universe, a child of the light in which there is not a speck or residue of darkness or self-condemnation. I bless myself in my sinless joy, my boundless bliss, my total commitment, and my ageless, tireless being. I bless myself as divine mind's expression of constant wisdom, enlightenment, discernment, and understanding. I bless myself as spirit's manifestation of glorious liberty, total freedom, and unlimited innocence. And this is true of all humanity. I bless myself in my perfect oneness with the ground of being, the unconditional cosmic love force called the Creator, which sustains every cell and atom of my being in perfect health. I bless myself as my sister's and my brother's keeper, overflowing with compassion, a font of unending tenderness for every suffering heart. And finally, I bless myself in my constant enjoyment of the green pastures of the kingdom within which I share with all humanity."
Wow.
So worksheets are good, and focusing on the truth of your nature as the extension of the creative energy and form, and blessing yourself as such, is also good. These two prongs of the approach are what yield the most benefits for me. Look on yourself as lovingly as possible, for it is your true nature. Thoughts? comments?
Yeah, it's that's very high, and it's wonderful. Part of my mind saying, yeah, right. But I agree
and,
with
and,
him.
And, but that's it. That's right there. That part of your mind that says, yeah, right, that's the EFT tapping and the Michael Rice worksheets, to dismantle the negativity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what the Way of Mastery Lesson 1 is saying. I need to be 100% responsible for that negativity. I need to understand that the positivity was given to me, it's my birthright, and the negativity is part of my false perception. And it's my responsibility to do something with it, to dismantle it, to see it as false.
I totally agree, Dr. Tim. I didn't mean to diss what you were saying or reading. It's just that it's like a talking mind shifter. I'm doing both sides of the margin at the same time. Yeah. I was going to ask you about the fact that Jacob seems fragile and frightened and unsure of himself and so sweet, and then he'll flip. It's Jekyll and Hyde. It's more dramatic than most people. And I have a lot of fear around that. Of course, we all know fear is my favorite miserable, but I'm afraid that something, some kind of filter or something, some grid isn't firmly in place or something, that he can sustain harshness toward me. I said, Jacob, you sound so angry. And he said, but I'm not raising my voice, which is what his father would do. And I said, and I tell you, that's wonderful that you can be mad and not raise your voice. But I still see that you're mad. And so I guess I wanted to take away his right to be mad. I didn't say that to him. I just called it to his attention. And then he said, you're punishing me. And I said, I just don't want to hurt you. You had a binge drink the other day. You spent some money, quite a bit of money probably, on some liquor. I don't want to pay for that. And if you had less money, you might think a little more carefully before you go into the liquor store. He thinks he's not an addict. He's not addicted to liquor. And he has already been told by his AA group that his sobriety has gone back to zero because he drank, even though he's in there for weed and substance abuse, but not liquor. And he was angry about that.
Well, but liquor
that.
Is he's a been, substance.
Yeah, well, it was certain substances, and he didn't think liquor was on his list, and he still insists he's not addicted to liquor. He just likes to drink a little with his friends once in a while. And
yep, but
maybe
that's
fine.
Part of the, okay, but that's part of the disease process, and we can't really litigate that here, but the experts that study this stuff will let you know that it's all the same. It's running away from an internal pain, whatever drug you're using. And the more I run away from that internal pain, the less I am available to face it directly and heal it.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
So.
Okay, Dr. Tim.
We've done it.
I see that it's the
end
of the hour.
We're down to the hour. I thank you for your call, comments, input, questions as usual. Thank you. I'll mute you for the transition. Blessings. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will welcome Jeannie Rice by turning on her microphone.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Have a great show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Thursday, January the 20th. 2022, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And I'll invite you to go to our website, especially here in a few minutes. We're going to be, you know, we've gone over Friday and Monday, Tuesday. We went over the first two forgiveness worksheets that are in the app. And then yesterday we worked with Danielle and J.J. Lyman, who created the Drag-On-Klingon game that is also in the app. And we enjoyed talking to them and getting reacquainted with them yesterday. And so today we're going to go over the Drag-On-Klingon game. And so if you don't have it, if you have access to a computer, go to whyagain.org, click on the Start Here button, and it will take you to where there's several downloads. And if you scroll down, there is a section that says, the Forgiveness Heartland Aramaic app is live on both the Android and the iPhone. You can click right there. It says the Drag-On game can be printed off and played by writing, and it says PDF format. So if you click on that, it will actually open up three pages. That is the Drag-On Klingon game, and you can kind of follow along with that. And so as soon as Michael gets dialed in, and we will start going over that Drag-On Klingon game. And then if we have time at the end of it, then we will, we've got a couple of questions that came in from the app, and we will go over those as well. So welcome, Michael. I was just telling everybody where they could go to on the website to open up or download or print the Drag-On Klingon game and follow along as we covered it. We don't have any hands up, and there's no comments in the chat room, so it's all yours.
Great. Well, if you open the app, you'll see that you can open two different versions of the worksheet. You can open the abbreviated wake-up sheet. You can open the current seven-step sheet, and you can open the Drag-On Klingon game. Or you can go to commitments, and you know, several of the commitments are there. You can go to events. You can look at what our calendar is. You can hit the More button, which will take you to all kinds of things you can access directly from the website. And or you can click the Send Us a Question button. Jamie, this app is just awesome. I think it's fabulous the way you put it all together. There's a link down toward the bottom. If you scroll down, you can listen to the show directly. And the call number is there as well. So she's covered it all. So if you click the Drag-On Klingon game, and it opens the screen, and the introduction, name that Drag-On in Klingon. You know, what are you dragging on in your life that you say to yourself, I want to be finished with this, or what's been clinging on to you? So here's the way to detect those things. An emotion-finding, power-creating game, a way to reclaim your power. You know, many people play the blame game and wonder why they feel powerless. And what we haven't understood is that when we blame somebody else, you know, when you realize that we're creators, and everybody loves the idea of being a creator, unless the creation isn't going so well, then they've got somebody else to blame. And what we do when we blame someone else is we literally take our power and we hide it in our brain's image of them. Then they show up in our mind with our power attached, and that's how people end up feeling powerless. The whole forgiveness process, whichever form of the process you take, whether it's this Drag-On Klingon game, whether it's the seventh step or the abbreviated, it's a way to reclaim your power. So the Drag-On Klingon starts out with something has happened. You're not happy about it. Unravel the problem. How can you get the Drag-On's great power? How can you take that back? Accepting your Drag-On's is the way of power. So what you want to do, you know, there's a set of instructions. Fill in as many blanks as you can and score your points. The points will be totaled automatically. Remember to breathe. Breathing is the key to your energy system, and energy equals power. At the end, you can save your final scores to keep for future reference. You can also browse your past saved final scores and or print out a PDF of any given worksheet. And so Who did it? So let's put Bill in the first blank. Bill did it. So you want to pick a situation in your life. And in the initial phases of doing the forgiveness work, we suggest that you start with a small issue. And the reason for that is because the whole idea of forgiveness is to bring to awareness that which is unconscious in you. And when you start with a big major life issue, the things that start to come up can literally knock you unconscious, you know, just literally knock you out of the game. And so start with something small. Start with a small issue. Develop the brain cells for how to utilize the tools and then advance to the bigger issues as time goes on. So what did Bill do? Bill didn't pay me. And so you fill that in, and I'm actually, instead of doing the printed sheet, I'm actually doing it live, so we'll walk all the way through it. Now, list all the feelings you have about this situation or person. Breathe after each feeling to find the next one. Use the actual names of things like anger, sadness, fear, etc. If you experience a judgmental feeling like guilt, fault, or blame, put it in both C and D, since only part of it is a feeling. The judgmental parts are thoughts, so we want to identify both thoughts and feelings. So you might be sad. Sadness might come when you think about that. Anger might come up. Fear might come up. It could be any range of emotions. And so you enter each feeling you're experiencing, you experience, and then you score 1 point for each feeling. Then name the Klingons, the beliefs or judgments about this situation. And, you know, the suggestion is made here of really go for it. You know, say whatever you think. Remember, the app is totally private. So if there's a whole string of cursing and raging and what have you, put it down in writing. Let yourself get it out and really look at it. So let's say if one looks at the sadness around not being taken care of or what have you, the sadness might be, you know, I've lost something. If one looked at the fear or the anger would perhaps have a thought behind it like, I want to get even. And the fear thought might be, you know, might be, I'm going to lose forever. You want to be as direct and as clear as possible in identifying what your thoughts are. Once again, you score points for that, breathe, and you have your total points. Then there's the next button. Click the next button. It congratulates you for moving to page 2. And you want to list your punishing thoughts. What do you want to do to punish that person? So, you know, it might be you want to take something from them because they didn't give you what you deserved. And again, list as many punishment thoughts as happen to be there. And as you breathe and are conscious when punishment thoughts come up, you might want to just kind of be aware that very likely the punishment thoughts that you want to engage in are often reflections of power person dynamics, of dynamics that happen within your world. And then number 1F, if I'm denying my feelings, I'm denying my power. I'm giving it away. To get my power back, I must accept and express my feelings. Breathe for each feeling and say, I feel. And, you know, so I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling afraid. And allow yourself to accept those feelings. And expression there doesn't mean I have to go out and rage all over somebody or have to go out and puke all over somebody. It just means that I internally need to own, really own what's going on for me and accept them. So then to to express that, you know, there's a button there that says, "Done it out loud," and and the dragon roars. And so when I express my sadness, there's a part of me that could cry about this. Do that out loud. So, especially when doing this with children, you're encouraging children to do this out loud. And so, kid gets this dragon roar and it becomes, something that inspires them to be willing to feel and express. And I don't know, Jeannie, do the dragon roars come through on the phone as I'm doing them here live on the app?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a great roar that comes through in the ears. It's pretty cool. So then judgments and thoughts, the Klingons, lock my feelings, become dragons in prison, and sentence me to repeat difficult experiences over and over. Break out of the prison. Release all the thoughts of guilt, fault, and blame. And so I want to go back and release each thought. And so I'm going to release the thought that I'm going to be taken from. I'm going to release the thought that I'm going to lose. I'm going to release the thought that I need to get even. So I'm going to do verbal release. And, most energetic patterns that we engage in, we engage in through language, through the use of words. And at first, verbal release may seem to be silly. But when you realize that you put it into your structure through words, it can be very powerful to start to use verbal release of those words. And then we move on to H. This event may be linked to earlier events in my life. I'm ready to breathe and remember. I recall when I was accused of, wanting to get even, causing someone to lose. Who might have thought this about me? Has someone ever had those kinds of thoughts about me? So it's just reviewing links in the mind that can then be projected. And you score your points. So now you're finished with page 2. You go on to page 3. You get a congratulations note. I recall when whatever I want to accuse someone else of, I want to recall a time when someone did that to me. So if, let's say, I've got this thought that someone's taking something from me, then I recall when someone accused me of taking something from them. Who did that to me? And I want to just own, and the whole idea here is to continue to bring to mind, to bring awareness forward with each step. Number 3, the truth is safe to feel. When I deny my feelings, I deny a true part of myself. This hurts. And then I blame others or even my own emotions for the hurt. It's really the suppression of these feelings that hurts. So it's the denial. It's not wanting to own those things that really creates our pain. When I stop blaming anyone, including myself, and feel my feelings, pain is relieved and I become more powerful. And I'm willing. I'm ready to be more powerful. And again, you click, affirming. And there's a button there, a check mark, and you click, yeah, I'm with that. That's true for me. Then on to step K. I structure the realities in my mind, and I'm the cause of my pain. So here's an acknowledgement that I'm the one who generates. When you remember that perception is a construct of the mind, owning that I structure the realities in my mind, then And by doing so, I'm the cause of my pain. I can say, oh, you know, Bill, Harry, Mary, whoever caused my pain. But the truth is, every time I've been in pain, I've been there. It's an internal experience that's happening. And I'm the one that's in charge of the energy patterns that I hold. And then the acknowledgement, if I'm in pain, it's my thinking that's an error. My temporary low energy and negativity will surface and are safe to feel and release. So as you start to own and acknowledge, you may find yourself touching into things that you previously never allowed yourself to look at. And the objective here is to go for it, to let yourself be with whatever's there. And, you know, once again, the reminder that this healing process is not Dr. Feelgood. These conditions are temporary if I breathe and release them, and I want to feel better. And if so, there's an affirmation button. You want to click it. Yes. And by the way, you get 5 points when you do that. What did I want to happen, situation, instead of what did happen? And so the instruction is there to use positive, upbeat language. So you want to talk about the constructive result, the same as in the reality management worksheet, the constructive result here that I want. And that is, I want to be treated fairly. And receive. What I deserve. So there's a space there to type that in. And once again, score points. And the next button, you're reminded to breathe. You want to make sure that throughout this whole process and throughout every instant of your life that you're continuously breathing. So many people subventilate so much of their lives. On to step M, page 4. There's the acknowledgement of who I am. I am love. I am not upset for the reason I think. Denying my feelings is the main cause of my pain and upset. My error, a mistaken goal. I made this goal. I wanted to be treated fairly and receive what I deserve, more important than staying connected to love. So, you know, there are all kinds of important things in the world, and this is where the rose and the butterfly story come in that we told through the other worksheets. And if you weren't with us, that story to me just illustrates the whole point of this particular step, and that is imagine that we have a rose and a butterfly. They meet, they fall in love, they have this wonderful time together, and one day the butterfly up and flies away. The rose, knowing that the so-called love of the butterfly is the most important thing in its life, uproots itself to give chase. What's going to happen to that rose? Obviously, it's going to die. Why does it die? It dies because it made something more important than being connected to its source. So we're not saying that nothing else in your life is important. Of course, there are many things that are important. The Course in Miracles, it's interesting how the Course in Miracles refers to that when it invites you to cancel a goal for something other than what's really key, and that is to live as a human being. The Course calls all of those things we want trifling treasures. And what the Course invites is that you put away your trifling treasures. And by doing so, you leave a clean and open space within your mind for healing. So once again, if you're acknowledging the truth of step M, if you recognize that, then there's a checkbox to affirm that, and you get 5 points. N, why is this happening to me again? I project my issues onto other people because my denied emotions, my drag-ons, and my hidden thoughts, my cling-ons, attract experiences to me like invisible magnets. When you realize that we live in a universe of resonance and everything is energy, you know, you couldn't have a thought if it wasn't energy. And if there wasn't an energy pattern that reflects in a certain thought, you couldn't resonate that energy into activity and have the thought. And by resonating something into activity, activity means motion. Energy, by definition, is motion. And so when I set something in motion, I literally create an energy wave, and every energy wave is an attractive field, is a resonating field. So I'm ready to let go of my judgments and reduce the chance of more copies of this experience happening. In other words, I'm ready to be finished with the why is this happening to me again experience. I let go of the thought that I need to be right. And there's a bracket there because, you know, if we were told by our power person, you know, how low life we were or what have you, then the attachment is to being wrong, to being guilty, to being out of place. Sit down number O, Bill. I pardon you. You know, Bill's our object of attention here. And I'm going to go into the pardoning process, not the forgiveness process here. You know, sadly, the Greeks convinced us that forgiveness was about how I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. And it can be appropriate to let somebody off the hook. That can be a generous thing to do. Somebody does something that's really off the wall and in gross error that creates all kinds of problems. And I can choose to be in a space of compassion and generosity and literally let them off the hook. So step O, I pardon you, Bill, for not meeting my goal of what I thought you should do. And if you can key in that, then once again, there's a checkbox. You gain another 10 points. And now step P goes into, in the Dragon Klingon game, goes into the actual forgiveness process. And if you remember in the Aramaic language, the word forgive is shebag, and it literally translates to cancel. Now, in any given situation, I could try canceling you. I think they call that murder. Probably not a good idea. Cancel myself, they call that suicide. Another very poor idea. What is it in any given situation that I can cancel that is driving, that is eliciting from my past some sort of unresolved upset? It's the way I want it to be, the goal that I hold. I'm always in charge of that. And you remember we talked about how, you know, unless you're just a generally miserable person, pretty much you're happy with the people around you as long as they're doing what you want them to do. As long as you're getting cooperation, you'll notice the only time that resistance and disturbance comes up is when they're not doing what you want them to do. And the bigger the gap is between what they're doing and what you want them to be doing, the greater your stress and level of upset is. You can reduce that by collapsing that gap. Well, how do I do that? I cancel the goal. Well, but Michael, this is a perfectly good goal. Why would I cancel it? Here's why you'd cancel it. Because the gap between the way you want it to be and the way you perceive it to be is so large that you're willing to go in. Your physiology responds with upset, with disturbance, with pain, with trauma. And the reason it responds with disturbance and pain and upset and trauma is because that disturbance and upset and pain and trauma is there. And what you want to do is clean it up. What you want to do is get rid of it. And the key step in that process is to cancel what it is that you want. So number one, or number P, is I cancel my demand for, you know, I want to be treated fairly and receive what I deserve. And once again, click, you get another 10 points. Go on to step page 5. And so now there's a congratulations, you're up to page 5. Call your helpline. This is step Q. So now I invite, and whatever term you use for the creator in you, the power that goes beyond what you're capable of. It might be God, it might be higher power, it might be Holy Spirit, it might be inner being, it might be superconscious, it might be subconscious, it might be the primordial X. We're not saying it is a verbiage, we're just saying that when you realize that in the universe there's something bigger than you are, and so you might call on the universe. And so you name that power for you, and in Aramaic, Ruka Dekutcha is the term that was given to a feminine elemental force in us that literally, when we invite it into activity, will do two things. It will undo the effects of our errors. And if we're willing to listen, if we're willing, of course, to have our errors undone, and it will teach us the truth. Of course, you can't keep your mouth running and be listening. And so there has to be a space for listening here. And so here's a request. Again, whatever term you use, higher power is what's used in the 12-step programs. And there's several things we suggest you ask for to help me to get unstuck, to set myself free, to bring me new understandings. And then what exactly is it that you want? Oh, I want to be guided to the best life that I can have. So this, the field is wide open here for what is it that you want from this power. And so you might just want to open your unconscious. And see the truth more deeply. And then step R. As I accept my dragons, my feelings, I take back the power that I was giving away. As I take responsibility and realize that they're mine, I see that I'm responsible for my life, my actions, and my feelings. And if you go for it with a good, strong yes, click that checkbox and collect another 5 points. And then step S, I release my Klingons, my judgments of you, Bill. I see that you're responsible for your life, your actions, and your feelings. And, of course, the corollary of that is I'm responsible for mine. So it doesn't mean that there's not a conflict with Bill. What it does mean is if I hold a goal for Bill to do something different than what he's doing, and I load that goal into my mind comes up with upset and pain. My mind has its hidden pain recruited into activity, not because Bill did what Bill's doing, but because I loaded this goal into my mind. This is really a key point in the whole process. And so how do you feel? You know, many people will say things like relieved. And there's room to enter several feelings, 5 points for each feeling. Breathe and button to go on to the next page. So you're now on page 6, step U. Now, here's the time to describe the situation regarding, you know, this particular worksheet. And so a typical response post-forgiveness would be something in the line of, you know, well, I can see that that Bill's having a hard time, and I can see that he deserves compassion. And so that's the shift in perception from one that was all about blame to one that is looking into things differently than I've looked in the past. So here you want to record what happens as you engage in forgiveness. And sometimes it can be a very small shift at first, but what you're looking to do is to bring forth a perceptual construct that is based from in a connected space and in love. And now I'm going to look at what's a new goal that I could live with in relationship to Bill. What's something that coming from generosity in the space of healed, I might be able to bring forward? So it might be, you know, it's time to sit down and communicate. From a space of love, rather than from a space of upset and pain and traumas. So that's step B. And you score points for new thoughts in that direction. Then step W, I'm grateful for this chance to experience and feel a hidden part of myself. You know, one of the comments that Dr. Tim often makes, and I love it, is there's no such thing as bad self-knowledge. And it's safe to make a connection with and be aware of everything that's going on inside of you. Step X, feeling is healing. I see that when I neglect my feelings, I turn them into angry, fire-breathing dragons. When I set them free, they turn from dragons into powerful forces ready to help me heal in my life. As I feel, I heal. Because I'm learning from my feelings instead of ignoring them, I can now create what I want in my life. I choose to accept more and more responsibility for my feelings and actions. And I pardon myself for not accepting these parts of myself before. So I'm ready to act generously toward myself in the forgiveness process. And once again, there's a checkbox to affirm that that's where you're going, and you hit the next button, and you're up to page 7. Step Y, we're getting close to the completion point. I use this experience with you, Bill, as an opportunity to heal and bring me peace, freedom, and new understanding. So I'm now moving into a higher space than this, perhaps the selfish, self-centered goals that have kept me in trauma and pain. And it doesn't mean that I can't hold any of those other goals about, you know, well, I want to be treated fairly. That's reasonable. But if I go into major upset because I want to be treated fairly and I perceive myself as being treated unfairly, I have a problem. And the problem is the upset that I'm projecting into my brain's image of another. And so if I'm ready to be finished with those kinds of feelings, then I can click this button and recognize, yes, now I can come to a new place of understanding. And step Z is a celebration. Hooray, I made it to the end. Score 10 points for finishing the game. And then hit the submit button. And now you can keep your final scores for future reference. You can browse and look at past final scores, and you can print out a PDF of the worksheet, the blank worksheet. And so you've got a set of results, what your points are in each section, and discover your dragon. You know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and by the way, I was just delighted to have Daniel and Gigi with us. I thought it was really fun to get some history and to hang out with them and have some conversation. And so what are the categories of points? Where do they leave you? If your points are zero, you're not going to play, then roadkill. From 1 to 40, a slug. 41 to 80, a pretty rock. 81 to 120, a gnat. 121 to 140, remember this is a kid's game, an intelligent lizard. 141 to 160, a wise walrus. 161 to 180, a soaring eagle. 181 to 200, white lightning. And over 200, greased white lightning. So just kind of a fun way for kids to look at themselves and start to understand the process of how their minds work. And then there's a click button to finish the game, and you've completed. And this process works. The secret is to express your feelings and release your thoughts and judgments and goals. And remember who you are. And you'll see the acknowledgement to Daniel and JJ. Again, thank you again, coming out of the forgiveness process. And we come to the completion point of the process of why is this happening to me again? Forgiveness through the drag-on Klingon game. And so, you know, as Julie shared yesterday that she, you know, she'd been doing worksheets for some time and decided to go into the drag-on Klingon game, and it the kids game, but it gave her a different view, a way to give herself permission to touch into some childhood dynamics, and it was powerful for her. And that's what opened up us doing, you know, yesterday's show the way we did with Daniel and JJ. And thank you, everybody, for joining us with it. And Miss Jeannie, we've got about 25 minutes left, so we've got lots of time for conversation. I think you said you had a couple of questions, and so let's open up if there's anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room.
All right. Yeah, there's no hands up right at the moment. So the two questions that I have that we have not addressed yet is, one, how is the forgiveness teachings related to toning?
Well, many people use toning as a way to open the energy field. One of the things you have to do to tone is you have to breathe. One of the core pieces of this puzzle of forgiveness is the breath process. You watch people when they're in trauma, and the first thing they do is lock down and hold their breath. So there are several theories that I'm aware of about toning, but one of the basic ones would be that in order to do that, you've got to breathe, and it's going to benefit you to open your breath. And if you really enter into the practice of toning, you're going to tend to feel more and more places within your structure. And, you know, and everything is energy and frequency, and by creating certain tones, I know there was a woman that I was actually on a platform with, this probably was back about 30 years ago, and her skill was being able to listen to people's voice tones and tell what energies they were missing in their bodies. And what she would do, she would listen to someone, and then she would generate a tone with her own voice that would help them to fill in the energy that they were missing. And you know, based on my awareness of what she used to do, I think one of the things that can be powerful about toning is that you can start to tap into your own energy field and start to generate energy patterns that perhaps you're blocked on, or create, you know, when you recognize everything works by energy and that sound is one of the key energies of the universe, it can also work to open parts of the structure that have been shut down. You know, when we talk about denial and dissociation and cutting off the flow of energy in the system, by opening to different, you know, practicing with your voice, generating different energies, you can literally open energetically parts of the structure through that law of resonance. And so for me, the similarity is that forgiveness is the removal of energetic patterns that don't belong. If I move into the realm of generating energetic patterns with my voice that open parts of my structure where I've hidden things, then I can start to clean those things out and facilitate forgiveness using those energetic patterns and tones. oftentimes in many healing modalities, music is used and generating tones. Actually, if you do a little research online, you'll find all kinds of different frequencies and sounds that different musicians have made, that and their specialty is healing. And when they create those frequencies, those energetic patterns, it opens places in people's bodies, minds, and awareness, and can support generating healing. And part of that healing process, I would take, would be that when that part of the structure opens, release happens. And that's what forgiveness is the release or the removal of what never belonged in the structure in the first place. So that'd be my take on that one.
Okay. And then the same person asked about Heartland. They said they were interested in the summer and fall intensives at Heartland, so perhaps address that.
Okay. Well, Heartland is our teaching center. It's in the Ozarks in southern Missouri, a little town called Theodosia. We've got 15 acres there, 17 buildings, or 17 acres, 15 buildings. And we do summer intensives, residential workshops where people will come and study with us anywhere from 9 days to, you know, we do up to a 65-day workshop each summer normally. And so we have opportunities for people to come and do work exchange programs in that process. And then we have, you know, paid intensives that people will pay a fee for. They'll come. We do total fresh and raw food regimen, very powerful, empowering dietary regimen to help people to shift their energy patterns. And unfortunately, with COVID having happened, our last season at Heartland was in 2019. And 2020, 21, we did not open. And as it's looking right now, it's not looking, with the way COVID's going on, it's not looking like we're probably going to open this summer either. And I, you know, we just have no idea where this thing's going to go. You know, when the whole COVID thing started, well, you know, this will probably be over in a few months. Somebody told us it was a miracle and would just go away when it got warm. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And so I don't know when we're going to move into opening Heartland again at this point. You know, it's going to depend what happens with the whole COVID thing. And so what we've done is we've shifted over into doing online intensives. So there are two different ways to participate in that. You know, we do a live Zoom class. You know, we've done two codependence to interdependence intensives at this point that were live programs that we did. One was over a period of 14 weeks, and the other one, I think it was 17 weeks. And so we're looking at, and it depends on requests and demand, so if you're interested, let us know. We're looking at probably the next intensive we'll do will either be Laws of Living or Why Is This Happening to Me Again and Why Is This Happening to Me Again teacher training. So if you're interested in those, let us know. When we have enough requests, then we'll set up and do another. I think that probably Laws of Living, when we do it, will probably be a 20-week intensive online, and the teacher training will probably be something in the range of 16 to 18 weeks. Another way that you can participate is we did do two in a row, codependence to interdependence. Was a really a high demand for that, and so we've actually created out of those Zoom intensives where we recorded everything, a self-study program. We actually combined both workshops. You know, the teaching is always a shade different around any given topic. And so we actually combined those two intensives into one, and it's a 90-hour video self-study program that includes the personal code evaluation, where digitally you go online and you answer some questions, and we'll give you feedback out of that. It's an evaluation of personal code that breaks our personal code, and a personal code is our mind's personal set of rules for how we live, something that we don't have conscious control over, But when we understand it and have feedback on it, we can start to take conscious control. So there are 10 different areas that are broken down by the evaluation that tells you where your weak points are and then gives you certain assignments for how to strengthen those areas of your life. And so the online intensive or this self-study intensive includes a pre-evaluation and a two-hour video that gives you feedback on the evaluation and certain assignments to do to look at areas of your life that need cleaning up. And then there's a post-evaluation that you do after the intensive, and that gives you a comparison. You'll know exactly how effective your work has been and gives you a new set of what are your challenges now that you've completed the intensive. What's the next place you can be most productive in doing your healing work? And then it includes a 90-hour video package, which is the combined teaching from those two full intensives. All of the teaching, all of the question and answer, all of the processing work, two mind shifters and still point breathing sessions, that's all included in the package. And so if you're interested in doing a self-study on codependence to independence communication, then that package is available. It's $600, including the two evaluations. So that's another way to participate in the work if you want to move forward and participate in something sooner rather than later. As I say, I don't know what's going to happen with COVID, but we've already made the decision with the amount of COVID that's happening. I know that here locally it's been pretty bad. We just saw a report this morning. Yesterday, there was a report that our local major healthcare system had 500 employees out yesterday. Today, that went to 750. I know that Jeannie's dad went into the hospital, and they were trying to get him, after about 7 or 8 days, they were trying to get him out. And at one point, they told us that in the emergency room, they had 20 people waiting for a COVID bed. So things have gotten pretty bad around this area in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee, and other parts of the country, I understand, are even more traumatized. And so that's a thing that doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. So we've already made the decision that we will not be opening this summer coming up in 2022, and we'll just have to kind of see how things unfold from there. But if you're interested in doing the self-study intensive, or you're interested in doing either the Laws of Living or the Why Is This Happening to Me Again and or teacher training, let us know. And when we have enough requests, we'll schedule that and move forward with the next intensive.
That kind of moves into the next question that came from a different person. And they wanted to know, could you explain the difference to them if they just did the forgiveness worksheets, for example, using the app, versus if they did the self-study intensive program? And the worksheets are included in the self-study, but they're wanting to know, to determine what they need to do, which way to go.
Sure. Right. Okay. Well, in the in any given intensive, we unfold a whole series of tools. One of those tools is the forgiveness process. At this point, and in the future we'll probably integrate more of the tools into the app, at this point the primary tool that's presented here, well, there are a couple of them really. There's the forgiveness process and the commitment. So we've got the wake-up sheets that are available. That's one of the major tools. It's actually the core tool of all of our programs, of our intensives. So when we do, let's say, Laws of Living, the forgiveness workshop is part of it, and the reality management worksheet, the wake-up sheet, is part of it. The commitment is something we teach in our Healing Through Relationships workshop. That's also included in the app. So they're geared for, the app is geared for people who've done a piece of work or who are ready to do a piece of work around the idea of forgiveness. The intensive is a much broader program. Like, for instance, in this self-study, we covered the workshop, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and the forgiveness process. So part of that self-study would be that you would get the video of me teaching the Why Is This Happening to Me Again and the worksheet process. We then went from Why Is This Happening to Me Again, in that the program that's now available is a self-study codependence to independence communication practicum. We then went into the Healing Through Relationships workshop, where we focus on utilizing the tool of my commitment. So you would have Ching of Why Is This Happening to Me Again in the intensive, where the app, the worksheet's there, the teaching isn't part of the app. So you'd have the teaching on it, and we'd go over the worksheet process. You'd have the teaching on the healing through relationships principles and the commitment. Then we do communication. Did you hear what I think I said? It's another workshop that we do that has another worksheet in it. And so you'd get the teaching on the communication process. We look at communication and then a step-by-step worksheet process for that. So that teaching's included in the self-study intensive. And then the final component of the one self-study intensive we have available now, that 90-hour program, also includes codependence to interdependence. And it introduces the idea of the power person, and the power person being the person in your life who had more power at some point in your life over your life than what you did. That person was not functioning as love. And if those two things were true and you perceive that circumstance as survival, then what we offer in that workshop is that you're literally in those circumstances, this is survival, they've got the power, they're not holding a space of love. What are they exuding? What are they putting out? And in that circumstance where those three things are true, a person's energy field just opens wide, and it's usually a child, although not necessarily, and the energy field opens wide and literally becomes much like a sponge. Whatever's going on in the environment energetically, that child will tend to absorb, and it will become part of the whole behavior dynamic of the rest of that person's life. So in that workshop, we go through that whole process, how that all works. And then we look at the fact that this power person dynamic is something that needs to be resolved, something that needs to be forgiven. And if it is never understood and addressed and forgiven, resolved, then what we offer to people, and you know, we've had, everybody I've ever asked the question comes back and goes, oh my God, that's exactly like, how do you know that? That's the story of my life. And, you know, all you need to do, if you understand this power person dynamic, all you need to do is watch somebody who's under stress, great stress, and what they do, and you will know exactly what happened to them in childhood, generally in childhood, not necessarily, but generally. And how do I know that? Well, when under the influence of an unconscious power, unresolved power person dynamic, a person lives out of one of three behaviors continuously. There are only three behaviors possible for this person until they address and deal with that. You know? And the three behaviors are the behavior that's active in a person's mind will depend on the level of stress they're under at any given moment. When there's no stress, and you know, everybody who's listening, if you haven't engaged in this conversation before, I just invite you to notice that when there's no stress, you do whatever you did to get along with your power person. That's just how the mind works. There's a thing in the mind that we recognize as the automatic decision system, and it kicks in, and that's what it delivers to you as behavior prompts. When stress begins to build, there'll be a shift. Let's say in interaction with my power person, I was Mr. Nice Guy. And we meet. We develop a relationship. Let's say we're in relationship for two or three or four or five years, and you go, well, you are just Mr. Nice Guy. It's so awesome to have you in my life. And, you know, maybe you've never seen me under stress, but all of a sudden stress starts to build, and I'll stop doing what I did to get along with my power person, and I'll kick into and I'll do whatever I did to resist and survive with my power person. So let's say the person who's Mr. Nice Guy, when stress is elevated, all of a sudden goes into being Mr. Snarky. And so you've maybe been in a relationship with this person for 5 years, and they're Mr. Nice Guy, and they're Mr. Nice Guy, or Miss Nice Guy, Miss Nice Guy, and things rock along. You go, wow, this is great. I'm going to marry Mr. or Ms. Nice Guy. And then stress starts to build. This is the point at which they say the honeymoon is over. Because when stress is elevated and that power person dynamic is in the unconscious and has not been addressed and dealt with, forgiven, then this person is now Mr. Snarky. And you look at them and you go, well, like, we've been together for 5 years and you've always been Mr. Nice Guy. What happened? Why did you change? They didn't change. They'd just never been under enough stress for Mr. Snarky to show up or Miss Snarky. And then, and this is where the real, you know, hits the fan, when a person becomes ultra-stressed, what they will do is whatever their power person did to them, they hated the most. So all of a sudden, Mr. or Ms. Nice Guy becomes Mr. or Ms. Snarky, and they're a little nasty, but it's okay. You can handle that. But all of a sudden shows up that place of being ultra-stressed. And, you know, if the power person was physically abusive, this person's going to turn around and become physically abusive. Because that's what's stored in the mind. And that's where I say, you know, if you look at somebody in an ultra-stressed place and whatever that is they're doing in the way of behavior, you can safely say to them now, you may not want to say to them because it may not be safe because you may be attacked for it, but in terms of being able to express a knowledge of what's going on in their lives, you can be pretty much assured that if you ask the question, how did it feel when your power person did that to you? You know, let's say maybe Mr. or Ms. Nice Guy, who became Mr. or Ms. Snarky, all of a sudden becomes physically abusive. You can pretty much tell that this person had a power person who was physically abusive. And what happens is, through each of the tools and the whole process of this self-study intensive, is about developing the understanding and the ability to access these parts of the mind using different tools. The forgiveness process, that's the focus of the app. The commitment, that's in the app as well. Not the teaching about it, but the actual commitment is there and accessible. The communication tool, responsibility communication, moving out of projection communication to responsibility communication, allows one to start to address these power person dynamics more and more deeply within themselves. And then the codependence to interdependence worksheet takes things to the next level. We also, and it's something that's been newly developed in these recent two workshops, is a power person worksheet that goes beyond what we've done in the past, and that's a whole new level. So that's what the intensive looks like. And if you're interested in doing that self-study intensive, you can buy the whole package, including the two evaluations for $600. And then, of course, the radio show is here 5 days a week to answer questions and support you in going through that. So if you come across questions and, you know, if somebody's doing the self-study and they're running into challenges and problems doing that self-study, we love having questions. We'd love for you to call, ask your questions, and we're delighted to be here for support. So that's our process for today. We're down to the last minute or so. I'm just going to say thank you for being with us. I hope your day is blessed and that you create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. The world needs it. You're capable of giving it. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.